We're going to move on to golf if we can. Greg Allen joins me now as we continue our build up to the Open Championship at Royal Liverpool. Obviously, Gary Murphy will be here a little later on in the week with his look at events. It'll be after round one, I suppose. But Greg, I imagine a lot of eyes focused on Tiger Woods there this week, as you would expect. A lot of people wondering though how he's going to get on, given he's played so little golf really since coming back from that 3 month injury recently.
Well, he came back in Congressional in the Quicken Loans tournament on the PGA Tour a few weeks ago, and he was clearly very, very rusty. It was probably a premature comeback in one respect, and I think I know why he did it. I think he needed to test the water to see how much work he needed to do to sharpen up, and missing the cut there doesn't seem to have bothered him so much. And really, and sitting through his press conference today, I think it might have been the most forthcoming Tiger Woods at a press conference that I've seen in a long time, mainly because I think for the first time he is so pain-free that he can feel that he can really go at the ball with every part of his body functioning correctly in terms of the golf swing. So I think that Tiger Woods here may not be someone who'll spring a surprise and win. I think that's probably beyond him because he's just so rusty. But I think he actually genuinely feels that his game is in a position where he can challenge this week. Maybe not win, but certainly challenge.
It's getting better. You know, playing a Congressional was a big boost to me. The fact that I was able to go at it that hard and hit it like that with no pain. It wasn't like that, you know, the previous time I played. Playing at both the Honda and Doral, I did not feel well. But to come back and be able to, you know, hit the ball as hard as I was able to hit it, and I've gotten stronger since then. I've gotten more explosive. I've gotten faster since then. And that's only going to be the case. I'm only going to get stronger and faster, which is going to be, which is great.
And I think you can hear in his voice there the certain enthusiasm that he has for the game. Whereas when he had that back injury, which he's had the surgery for, he really couldn't be that enthusiastic because he knew that his game was severely compromised. So he might spring a surprise by playing okay here and perhaps as well drawing on some of the vibes that he has from Hoylake 2006, when, of course, he won the Open, the last of his three Open Championship victories here in 2006, shortly after the death of his father.
Yeah, and I was going through that tournament in 2006, Greg, and he hit driver, I think, just once in 72 holes. This course, will it favour him because he doesn't have to hit that driver, which can be erratic and can cost him, particularly on links golf?
Well, he's going to have to hit it more than once in 72 holes if he wants to challenge here. There are four par fives in this golf course, all of which are approachable with the driver off the tee in terms of hitting it in two, hitting the greens in two. And one of the par fives, probably the 10th, can be hit in two without hitting driver off the tee. But I do think that Rory McIlroy's assessment that there are about four or five holes where you have to take driver here is definitely going to be the way, because back in 2006, Hoylake was burnt brown. The ball was running 60 yards. Here, with the amount of lush green that we have on the course now after a reasonably wet summer here in Liverpool, the ball is running maybe 20 yards, and it's just not going to be won off the tee by someone like Tiger even, or even one of the longer hitters just using iron off the tee. I think he's going to have to take driver. It's not his strongest club. Even pain-free, Tiger with the driver is going to be an interesting viewing, spectating type of experience, as it always is, because I do believe that Tiger has something akin to almost the yips with the driver. He hits it beautifully on the range, often on the golf course with a card in his hand. It goes sideways, so he will have to use the driver, I think, Hugh.
You mentioned Rory McIlroy there, Greg, and still the big question and wonderment over how we can go out last weekend on Thursday and shoot 64 course record and then blow up and shoot 78 on the Friday, and it's been a habit that he has got into this season, and one I'm sure he's pretty conscious of.
Yeah, I think the statistic, if it's correct, is 9 over par for the second rounds that he has played this season, and something like 50 something under par for the first rounds that he's played this season. That alone is the statistic which reveals that his first rounds have been truly great. He's had three first rounds of 63, incidentally, in tournaments this year, and he hasn't won any of them. Last week in Scotland, he had a first round 64, followed it up with a 78. So I think it's in his head. He's admitted that he's probably making more of it than he should make of it. probably because he's been asked about it the whole time. He even joked in the press conference that maybe, you know, he'd be better off getting off to a modest start on Thursday so he doesn't have the pressure of feeling he has to put in another low one on Friday. And when he feels that pressure, it tends to go in the opposite direction. So I think you'll see Rory McIlroy with a big smile of on his face if he shoots a 68 or a 69. If he shoots a 64, the smile might be on his face, but a bit of apprehension might be with it as well.
Yeah, I wonder would it be worth backing him for the... To be leader after the first round, just on the basis of that 50.
Oh, I think there's a great chance that could happen. Yeah. Remember, in St Andrews, he shot 63-80, yeah. 17 shots difference. Because this is the real bugbear for Rory McIlroy and Lynx. He loves Lynx golf. Make no mistake about it. He has all the shots for Lynx golf when the ball is on the ground. It's when the ball is up in the air with that very high ball flight that he has that he loses a little bit of confidence, because high wind and high ball flight don't mix, as we saw in that second round in St Andrews back in 2010.
Interestingly, he's a bigger price to be leading after round 1, 20-1 after round 1, 12-1 to win outright. So yeah, there's definitely going to be a few taking a bit of that. In terms of just the general build-up, Greg, you know, we had Michael Hoey on last week and I asked him if he had to give any advice ahead of the Open, what would it be? He said not to play too much practice rounds, and if you do play every practice round, to make sure that, you know, you don't strain yourself, because he said each time he has played the Open Championship, he's bought into everything and the atmosphere that goes with it, and he's been physically wrecked by Thursday.
Yeah, Michael has got it wrong in the Open before, and I think, you know, people will ask you about Michael Hoey or will ask me about Michael Hoey, and they'll say, you know, that he's a very fine player who hasn't seemed to have lived up to his billing when he was an amateur, because he's a former amateur champion. But the thing about Michael Hoey is he's won 5 times on the European Tour. He has this ability to close out victories when he gets victory in sight, and he has won the Dunhill Links Championship. One of those 5 victories was one of the biggest events on the European Tour. You know, 2 of the rounds there would have been in St Andrews, the others in Kings Barnes and Carnoustie. Believe me, Michael Hoey can win on links. So getting his preparation right, and I think Michael Hoey this year has shown signs of consistency where he's making hard decisions, like practicing less. He's hardly practiced at all. I've seen his name on the practice sheet here once so far this week. So I'm sure he has been out. He may not have been on the practice sheet, but there's no doubt that Michael Hoey has the talent to challenge here. And remember, he was a partner of Graham McDowell's in the Walker Cup, you know, 12, 13 years ago. So he has, I think, a talent that's latently coming out, and getting his preparation right is very important. But that thing about over-practicing, the practice rounds here can be 5.5 hours. So, you know, it's not for everybody.
Okay, listen, we'll leave it there, Greg. We'll talk to you tomorrow night, and thanks for your time this evening.
Not at all, Hugh.
Greg Allen there.